Tonight is Wednesday night, June 20th. This is the Women's Mishnah and Gemara Shiur. We're up to Chulin, Daf Kufte Zayin Amud Aleph.
Okay, Rabotai.
Oh, no.
Rabotai. Over the last couple of Shiurim, we have focused on the Isur of Basa B'Chalav and have seen four different approaches in the Gemara as to how we derive the prohibition of eating basa b'chalav. Because after all, the Torah never tells us not to eat basa b'chalav. Just tells us not to cook. So we've seen four different halachic opinions, which psukim in the Torah might teach us the halacha of the isur of eating basa b'chalav. Each one of the opinions which we covered also took the time to explain, how do I know that basar b'chalav is also asur b'hana'ah? Not only are you not allowed to cook it, not only are you not allowed to eat it, but you are not permitted to derive any benefit from it. Tonight, we are going to see one opinion, the halacha doesn't accept his opinion, but we have to learn it anyhow, who believes that basar b'chalav is mutar b'hana'ah. And we will see Tosfos, who will ask a very simple question. He uses a derivation which we've seen by someone else, and that someone else derived the Isur of eating from his source as well, and he found another source to prohibit Hana'a, and why doesn't Rav Isi by Yehuda? So we are in the Gemara. I forgot to bracket the Gemara. It's about 15 lines down, where it says, Desanya, the second word on the line, next to a gimel in a parentheses. Mm-hmm. See that?
I have one question before you start.
Of course.
But in our practice, if someone owns a grocery store that's not kosher, like they own a chain or whatever,
right,
they do get Hana'a from Basar B'chalav.
They're not allowed to. A Jew can't own such a thing.
So if it was cooked by someone else in his package,
makes no difference.
Because how is that possible? Then, like I know there are certain supermarkets that they have to sell their hummus or do.
Well, that's because they want our business.
Okay, but so also,
and because they own either. The Jews own it,
yeah.
But here they see that's the difference. By chametz, if they don't sell their chametz, we can't buy it.
Right.
If they make basar b'chalav and derive benefit from it, I can buy other products in the store. It doesn't bother me.
Like,
I'm never going to
buy. It's wrong for them.
It is wrong.
Even if they didn't cook it.
That is correct.
A product that's with
meat and milk cooked together. That's correct.
Anyone who owns like a grocery store or anything.
That is correct. Yes. Correct. You need, if you remember correctly, the Isur of Basar B'chalav requires kosher meat. If it's non-kosher meat, the Isur of Basar B'chalav doesn't. We learned that in a Mishnah. Okay, but they could have had kosher meat if you have regular cow's meat. You know.
Even if it wasn't shafted.
That we saw was a machloikis.
Right,
some
right.
Say yes, some say no.
Right. So.
Okay. Right? So
if it's a pork.
Oh, yeah, pork. Right. That's correct. That would be no problem.
Yeah.
Because that's not basar b'chalav. That's correct. So there is a gimel next to a little gimel, followed by a parentheses before the word desanya, about 12, 14 lines from the top. The Sanya Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rabbi Yehuda, quoting, who heard it in the name of Rabbi Shimon. Basar b'chalav, asur b'achila, umutar b'hana'a. His opinion is that basar b'chalav is prohibited to be eaten, but you are permitted to derive benefit from it. How do I know? Shine'emar, because the Torah writes, Ki am kadosh ata l'shem elokecha. We saw this pasuk last week in Parshat Re'eh. The Torah states, "You are a holy nation unto God." Does anybody remember the next phrase? Well, how does that pasuk have any relevance to us? Because the next phrase in the pasuk, if you remember from the last a shir was lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo. That's what the Torah writes. You are a holy nation unto God. Do not cook a goat in its mother's milk. So he assumed, the Gemara here assumes that you'll remember the second half of the pasuk. I'll quote to you the first half of the pasuk. Ki am kadosh atal Hashem Elokecha. V'ne'emar lahalan, it has been said previously in the Torah, v'anshe kodesh tihiyun li, and you shall be a holy nation unto me. What is the phrase that appears after that phrase, anshe kodesh tihiyun li? No, it was another one. U'basar basadeh treifa lo tochon. You're not supposed to eat treifa meat. Treifa meat. Ah, that's okay. So now I'm just going to remind you from last week's shir. Last week, one of the Amoraic sages said, I am going to derive the isur of eating basar b'chalav from the gzeirah shava, from the common denominator, which is the word kodesh that appears by both. The word kodesh appears by basar b'chalav. We just read it. The word kodesh appears in by treifa, exactly, by treifa. And on the right-hand side of the page, about two-thirds of the way down, this edition of the Gemara, which I photostated for you, has the psukim. Lo tochlu kol nevela, lager shishman chalikam kadosh atal Hashem alokecha, lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo. That's in Dvarim, in Parshat Re'eh. And in Shmot, in Parshat Mishpatim, it says, V'anshe kodesh tiyun li, u'basar basadeh treifa, lo tochelu lakelef tashlichun elto. So the opinion last week said, I am going to derive the prohibition of eating basar b'chalav based on a gzeirah shava, common words that appear in two places. The word kadosh appears in by basar b'chalav, lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo, why ki am kadosh ata, and the word kadosh, kodesh, appears by treifa, v'anche kodesh tiyun li, u'basar basadeh treifa, lo tochelu. So just as you're not allowed to eat treifa, you are not allowed to eat what? Basar b'chalav. That was last week's guy. This week, Rabbi Isi ben Yehuda says, I'm going to derive from this pasuk that basar b'chalav, Shimon ben Yehuda ben Shimon, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda ben, I'm going to learn from this pasuk that basar b'chalav is mutar b'hana'a. How am I going to learn that it's mutar b'hana'a? Because it says in the second pasuk, treifa, but lakelef tashlichun oto. So treifa, we know the Torah has explicitly stated you are permitted to derive benefit from treifa. And the word kodesh appears there. So I apply the same standard halacha by kodesh as it is written by lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo. And I state, since the word kodesh by treifa only includes an isur achila, but not an isur hana, the word kadosh by bishul basar b'chalav does not include an isur hana. Does not include an isur hana. That's what he says. Ma lehalan asur ba'achila umutar ba'hana'a. Just as by treifa, it is asur ba'achila, but permitted in hana'a. Afkan asur ba'achila umutar ba'hana'a. Here too, by basar b'chalav, it is prohibited to be eaten, however permitted to derive benefit. That's what the Gemara says. Now, last week's Amoraic sage, who learned from this equation that you're not allowed to eat basar b'chalav, knew that he could not learn a prohibition from this pasuk that you're not allowed to have hanah from basar b'chalav. He knew that as well. Why did he know that I can't use this gzeirah shava to teach me that there's an isur of hanah by basar b'chalav? Why couldn't he? Because treifa is mutar b'hanah. So how could you use treifa as a launching pad to teach you that basar v'chalav is asur mahana when the source from which we are learning is not asur mahana? So the Gemara said, I didn't teach it to you inside last week, I just made reference to it. The Gemara said, he learns it out from a kal v'chomer from Orla. Remember that? He learned it out from a kal v'chomer from Orla. What was the kal v'chomer from Orla? Orla is fruits that are planted, and after 3 years, you're not allowed to eat them. Not allowed to eat them, right? For up to three years. Now, did anybody do anything wrong by planting a tree and now 3 years? No, nothing was done. Nothing was done wrong. So if Orla, for which you did nothing wrong, you just planted a tree, and nonetheless, the produce for the first 3 years is not only asur ba'achila, but also asur b'hana'ah, basar b'chalav, where you did do something wrong. What did you do in order to create the... You cooked it. Torah says, lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo. So where you did something wrong, certainly the produce of that violation should be asur b'hana'ah. So even though last week's Amoraic sage, who happened to be Isi ben Yehuda, who said that I am going to learn the prohibition of eating basar b'chalav from this source, which we learned tonight, the equation between basar b'chalav kadosh and treifa kadosh, he acknowledges, of course, that I can't use that as a source for hana'ah. So he created something else called a kal v'chomer, something which is less severe, kal, and din A applies to something that is less severe. Why is it less severe? Because you did nothing wrong. And nonetheless, it's asur bahana, that's a given. So certain, the chomer, basa b'chala, where you did do something wrong in order to create the isur, you cooked milk and meat, certainly it's asur bahana. That's what last week's person said. Tonight's person, Shimon ben Yehuda, did not agree with that. He, for some reason, doesn't want to employ the kal v'chomer. He doesn't want to employ the kal v'chomer to supplement his prohibition of eating that he learned from the hekesh of kadosh kadosh. The question is, why not? Why doesn't he want to follow in the footsteps of another Amoraic sage by the name of Isi ben Yehuda, who used his pasuk to teach him the isur of cooking? Why doesn't he follow through and say that it's also prohibited in hana'ah based on the kal v'chomer? Everybody have the question. So take a look on the left-hand side of the page, Tosafot. Ma lahalan asur ba'achila. I bracketed the Tosas towards the bottom of the page. Ma lahalan asur ba'achila mutar ba'hana'ah. Asks Tosafot. Af al gav, even though even though I theoretically can learn the Isur Hana'ah from the Kal V'chomer, which we said previously, Tidile'el, as we learned a block earlier. And what was the Kal V'chomer? I just told it to you. Kal V'chomer from Orla. So why doesn't he, Shimon ben Yehuda, learn the same kal v'chomer? Answers Tosafot. Savar, because Savar, he is of the opinion, ein gzeira shava lemechtza. Ein gzeira shava lemechtza. If you're making a gzeira shava, Gzereshav is one of the 13 midot, how we interpret Torah Shebiksav. So what is the rule of Gzereshav? You have a phrase in source A, and all of the information is provided in source A. The halacha is given. In source B, there is a similar phrase, And the information is not conveyed to us. So what do? This principle teaches me that since they employ similar expressions, it's designed to teach me, what should I do? I should compare them. And he is of the opinion that if you're going to compare them, you can't say you're going to compare them halfway. You can't. Either they are compared completely, or they're not compared at all. So, if you were to ask Shimon ben Yehuda, how would you know that you're not allowed to eat basa b'chalav? How do you know you're not allowed to eat basa b'chalav? Exactly. I agree with my friend Isi, who said, you learn it out from this pasuk. Because it says kodesh by basa b'chalav, right? Am kadosh ata lo tevashel gedi, but it doesn't say anything about eating. In source B, it does say something about eating. It's talking about treifa, and the word kodesh appears. So, and it says you're not allowed to eat treifa. So I take the known and I apply it to the unknown. So I learned out from this very comparison that you're not allowed to eat basa b'chalav. Well, if you're not allowed to eat basa b'chalav, I want to maintain consistency with this gzeirah shava and say, well, just as treifa only can't be eaten, but you can derive hana'ah from treifa, so too, basa b'chalav cannot be eaten, and you can have hana.
Is that learned out from the same pasuk?
What?
Is the hana of treifa learned out from this pasuk?
No, it's from whom? According to whom?
Oh, you just said he wants to maintain consistency, but we're not learning that.
Correct. I want to learn it from the same. It's from the hekesh of the word kodesh. Is treifa mutar b'hana? The answer is yes. The Torah itself says so. What do you do with a piece of treifa meat? You throw it to your dog. La kelev tashlichun oto. So where the word kodesh appears in Parshat Mishpatim, I know for a fact you're not allowed to eat treifa, but you are allowed to derive.
It's from the fact that it's in the same pasuk. You have to take the whole pasuk. It says,
right, so it says you're not allowed to eat it, but what do you do with it? You throw it to a dog.
So you're saying you have to buy the whole package.
Exactly. So therefore, I can't suddenly decide to learn out an Isra Hana from something else. I have to buy the whole pack. That's called Ein Zera Shava Lemechza. You can't decide to use, pick and choose what you're going to use a Gzeira Shava for. You have to use a Gzeira Shava completely. Completely. That's his answer as to why Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda says that Basa B'chalav is Mutar Mahana. Basa B'chalav is Mutar Mahana. Yeah. Now, so I'm going to ask you, Tosis is going to try to defend last week's guy. Mm-hmm. Didn't last week's guy know the halacha that you can't make...
Is that accepted across the board?
No one disputes that. That's why Tosis is going to follow up. Everyone agrees that if you're going to employ a gzeirah shava, you have to follow it through. So Tosfos will ask, okay, I just explained tonight's Amoraic sage, Shimon ben Yehuda. What about last week's Amoraic sage? He learned out the Isur of eating Basa B'chala from the equation of Kedusha, and yet he went shopping for another prohibition, and he found it in a Kal V'chaimah from Arla. What happened to the rule of Ein Gzeirah Shava L'Mechtza?
Yeah, he can't have it both ways.
So Tosis is going to explain him. He can have it both ways.
Both guys are right.
Both guys are right. Elu v'Elu is always like that. They're always right. So Tosfos says, I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but I want to tell you what he says. You and me are always accustomed to defining the word treifa, which the Torah is prohibiting here, as the classic way of defining treifa. What is the definition of treifa meat?
That wasn't appropriate.
No, that's nevela.
Oh,
What is trefa? It has a physical defect. One of the many physical defects. None of them are written in the Torah. Written, right. It's got a punctured lung. It's got this. There's a whole perek called Elu Trefos. These are the list of trefos which Chazal understood renders an animal that if it has a trefa, it can't live more than 12 months. That's what it says. Can't live more than, so it's almost like it's dead already. Whatever it is, fine. But there is another halacha that is subsumed under trefa, which we never talk about because it's not relevant to us. What is that halacha? An animal in the Beit HaMikdash that stepped outside of the Beit HaMikdash to catch some fresh air. You dedicated a korban, and it's there in the Beit HaMikdash, ready to be slaughtered, and maybe he saw what was about to happen to him, and decided to take a little hike. And he stepped outside of the Beit HaMikdash. That's called Kodshim, the holies, Shiyatzu Mechutz Lemechitzatan. Maza Mechitza? The wall, the boundary. They stepped outside of their permitted boundary. That korban is automatically disqualified and can never be eaten. Can never be eaten, can never be slaughtered, can never be eaten. And it's asur b'hanaah too. You have to let it die. You have to let it die. Some say you burn it. You just burn it with all the other disqualified korbanot in the Beit HaMikdash. It's called psulei hamukdashin. It's disqualified as a korban. The Gemara, don't ask me why, learns out this halacha from this pasuk of trefa. Don't ask me why it's called a trefa. I can't explain it. But Tosfot cites this halacha, that the word trefa doesn't only include the conventional wisdom of what trefa means, namely that the animal has a physical defect from which it will not recover. A second definition of trefa includes kodshim, any holies, shiyatzu chutz lemechitzatan, step out of their designated boundary. The halacha is such a korban cannot be eaten, nor can you derive a penny benefit from it. So how does that help Tosfot here? How does Tosfot use this to defend? Well, then this pasuk is talking about hanaah too. So now I can compare the prohibition of trefa and compare it to what? To basar b'challav. Why am I comparing trefa to basar b'challav? Because of the similarity of the word kodesh. And I'm not splitting it. I'm not only saying that the halacha operates halfway. I'm comparing it fully. Not to the conventional understanding of the word trefa, but to this unusual case of trefa. That's why last week's Amoraic sage, E.C., the son of Yehuda, said that I theoretically could have learned all of this, all of the prohibitions from this connection. And our Tana tonight says, yeah, that's a rare case. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry knows that the word trefa primarily does not mean an animal that stepped out of bounds. That's not what trefa means. What is the primary use of the word trefa? Just like we know, a blemish, a defect from which it's never going to recover. And under those circumstances, that type of trefa is not prohibited in Hana'ah. So it's a very funny read according to Tosfos, because the pasuk says La kelev tashlichun oto. Can you give the korban that stepped outside? Can you throw that to a dog? No you can't. You can't. So it doesn't really make sense. I grant you that. I'm just telling you, just so that you'll be able to sleep tonight, because otherwise, what about the other guy? So Tosfos handles it and defends him, even though he just defended this one by saying, "Ein gzeira shava lemechza," you can't create a gzeira shava, the type of comparison of a word to a word. You can't do so if you're going to do so halfway. That doesn't work. So what does the other guy do? He says, "Well, there's a case of treifa, which is asur b'hana'a, to which I would apply."
Do you use that definition of treifa if the person continues and says,
"Okay"? So that only applies to one type of treifa. It's a strange halacha. I grant you that. I don't want to. There's lots of Torah sent about it. They don't learn it in many yeshivas because it's kachim halachas. So if you want to learn about, go to Yerushalayim, go to Brisk in Yerushalayim. They learn kachim all day in accordance with the Chavetz Chaim, who told us to learn kachim because Pesach Mikdash can be built tomorrow morning. So you have to know kachim. So in Brisk, they spend their life. The Brisker Rav, the Rav's uncle, Rav Chaim's son, wrote primarily his commentaries on Seder Kachim, which most yeshivot in America and in Israel don't even never look at. The Daf Yomi is doing Kachim. Zvach, of course, Daf Yomi learns everything.
Aren't the Briskers also big on the Rambam, though? And the Rambam,
yes, they are, but...
No,
not in Mishneh Torah. He's very definitive that there's going to be korbanot and everything else. That's in the philosophic work for the confused. Right.
Isn't it saying other areas about kashrut also on kadosh? This is the only two cases.
That is correct.
So why do they particularly? I don't know.
Because he likes it.
Of me too,
because it's eating and because it's food. Because it's food and food.
No, but I mean other things about kashrut.
That is correct.
It's not kashrut about many things, but even in
kashrut. You're 100% right. It says, "Vehit kadishtem ve'item kedoshim etena pashashmini," which talks about regular animals. What are the signs of a kosher animal? What are the signs of a kosher fish?
Okay.
You're right. You're right. And in fact, to answer your question definitively, you have, you, me, Rava, Abaye, Isi, have no right to make up our own gzeira shava. Has to be passed down from Rebbe to Rebbe to Rebbe, theoretically going all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Exactly. Because otherwise you can make up thousands of such things. Oh, just this word here, this word, I'll make a kavach. You can't do that. Ein donin gzeira shava la'atzmo. You can't. So it's a good...
It was passed down.
Apparently it was passed down. Correct. Correct. Okay. So now there is a machloikis, whether basa b'chalav is asur b'hana'a or not. So go to page number 2. I want to show you how the Rambam doesn't fully embrace either opinion. He doesn't say that it's mutter. He says that it's asur, but it's not quite asur like eating and cooking. Let's read the Rambam. They were playing, but I didn't want to confuse you anymore. Could have had last night's... Of course, dude. We could have had Andujar's number, Torres's number, you know, all of them. Stanton's number, he pitched a good game, you know, all of them. But then last thing you say, who is this guy, who's that guy? So, says the Rambam in Perek Tet of Hilchos Machalot Asurot, says the Rambam in Halacha Aleph. We're going to look at Halacha Aleph and Bet. We looked at that previously for a different reason. Basar b'chalav asur levashlo. You know how to cook it. The asur leachlo min haTorah. The asur behana'a. Okay? So the Rambam writes, it's asur to cook, it's asur to eat, and it's asur to what? Derive benefit. That is good. Good. Perhaps we'll be able to answer it in a couple of hours. We'll see. It's an excellent question. Now, what do you do with it? Vikovrin oto. What are you supposed to do with Bosa B'chalav?
Bury
it. Anything that is asur bahana'a in the Torah, you have to bury it. Why should you bury it? So that make sure that no one will what? Get hana'a from it. And the Rambam says, even if you burn it, you cannot derive benefit from the ashes. ve'afaro asur, and the ashes, should you decide not to listen to us, and not bury it, but rather burn it, its ashes are asur ke'efer kol hanikbarin, like the ashes of anything else that had to be buried. The Rambam here is highlighting this because if the Torah tells you to burn something, you're allowed to use the ashes because you did what the Torah told you to do. Asita, asit et hamitzvah. So can you tell me something which the Torah tells you you are obligated to burn? Chametz, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Only one opinion. Rabbi Yehuda says the only way to destroy chametz is to burn it. The halacha is against him. You're allowed to destroy it in many fashions. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, only burning it. We decide to make Rabbi Yehuda happy because the Chachamim who disagree say burning is just as good as any of our others. So we burn it. But we are not allowed to derive benefit from the ashes because we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda that the only way to discard chametz is to burn it. But if Rabbi Yehuda were to walk in, welcome Rabbi Yehuda, come on in. According to him, you are obligated to burn it. You cannot destroy it in any other fashion. So once you burn it, you can use the ashes. What might you want to use ashes for? Fertilizer. The Gemara talks about ashes being used for fertilizer. And I spoke to a farmer and he said, yes, very true. Very nice. So that's what the Rambam says. Umi sheyivashel mishnehem kizayit echad. Anybody who cooks a combined kizayis of what? Basar and chal. You don't need a kizayis of each. A combined kizayis of basar and chal ke'echad. Lokeh. You get lashes. Shine emar lo tuvashel gedi bachalev imo. V'chein ha'ochel kizayit mishneihem me'abasar v'ha'chalav shenitbash lo ke'echad. Lokeh. If you eat a kizayit of basar b'chalav, you get lashes. The afal pishalo bishel. Even though you were not the one who cooked it, somebody else cooked it, but if they've been cooked together, if you cook them together, if you eat them, you get lashes. You get lashes. Now, what does the Rambam not say? Doesn't say anything if you get hana. So everybody understands Rambam's opinion that you do not get lashes for having hana'ah for basar b'chalav. So if I had basar b'chalav and I sold it to a Gentile, I'm not going to sell it to a Jew, and now I get $150 out of it, I don't get lashes for violating the iser hana'ah of basar b'chalav. Okay, so some want to claim that after all, what did the Rambam put over here? Where did the Rambam put the phrase "va'asu le'achlo min haTorah"? Where did he want to put it? Where did he put it? Right before Hanah, and you might want to say that Hanah is only asur midrabbanan. Okay, that might be a possibility.
No, because of where the vavs are.
What? Minatorah, comma. Right, now the Asur Bahanam. But if he wanted what? To say that Hanah is Asur Minatorah, where would the phrase Min HaTorah appear? After the word Hanah. Good, that's what some want to say, but of course it's wrong. You can't tolerate that position. Because if you remember correctly, I showed you Rambam in his Minyan HaMitzvot, in his Sefer HaMitzvot,
Wait, not only with the Hana'ah, why isn't the Isser from the Torah is not for eating it, it's for cooking. It should say, Basar b'chalav asur l'bashlo min haTorah.
Good.
Then the Asur l'achlo and Asur.
Good. So, very nice. So, if you remember, I showed you last week the Rambam in his other work called the Sefer HaMitzvot. And who did Rambam quote last time? He quoted Rabbi Yishmael. What did Rabbi Yishmael say was the source of the prohibition? The three times. Lo tevashel, three times. Once lo tevashel cook, one tevashel eat, one lo tevashel hana. So the Rambam believes that the Isur Hana'a is de'oraita, based on the fact that he quotes all three opinions, all three sources of lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo. He quotes all three of them. So the question is, why is it that, in fact, you can turn to page number 4 for a minute before I look at 2 and at 3 and look at page number 4. In the second paragraph on the page, in the middle of the line, Zeh she'amru yitbarach, that which God said, Lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo, Nichpal batorah shlosha pa'amim. The fact that it says Lo tevashel has been repeated three times in the Torah. The amru melamde haperush, and the people who explain the Torah said, taught us, shekol lav mehem hu le'inyan. Each lav is for another aspect. It's not repeating it three times so that what will happen if you cook it? You get three X's in your marking book. That's not the reason. That's what some say. But that's not the reason, says the Rambam. What happens? Chad le'isur achila, v'chad le'isur hana'a, v'chad le'isur bishul. One is for the ease of cooking, one is for the ease of bishul, one is for the ease of eating. What's the ease of hana? So if the Rambam believes that lau tevashel applies to hana, what question do you now have to ask?
Why don't you get the same punishment?
That you should get lashes for hana as well.
Even within the Torah, there's different levels of punishment.
But the question is, how does the Rambam deduce that? It doesn't say anything after any lo tevashel other than lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo. And normally, the punishment for a violation where it says lo is 39 lashes. So it says lo tevashel cook, lo tevashel applied to eat, lo tevashel hana'a. Why does the Rambam differentiate between eating and hana? That's the question which many commentaries ask on the Rambam. Ask, yes. Go right ahead.
If you accept the position of Rabbi Ishmael of the three,
yes.
What do they do with the pasuk if it's a hekesh that's been passed?
He doesn't learn the Hekesh.
So he doesn't rely on it.
Just ignore it? I ignore it. I don't need it. I don't need it. So the answer is his school didn't have it. Don't forget, when you worry, if you have to say that it came down by tradition, right, it means your Rebbe had to hear it. Your Rebbe, well, my Rebbe didn't hear it. That's all. It's also, to me, it means nothing. I'm not arguing with it. I'm just saying, I don't have such a tradition.
The reason I'm asking is maybe in the case of Malchus, they're relying just on that piece of it. In other words,
okay, then somebody should say something. Somebody should say something. So, So take a look, for example. Go now to page number 3 for a minute. And here the Rambam will say, HaMitzvah HaKuf Peivav. In this book of Sefer HaMitzvot, the Rambam tells us how to code the 613 mitzvot. So he spends quite a bit of time formulating his rules, what pasuk in the Torah counts as a mitzvah and what does not count as a mitzvah. Right? When it says three times, is that three mitzvot or only one mitzvot? Right? One mitzvah. So the Rambam here writes, in Mitzvot Lo Ta'aseh, he writes, he has a list of 248 mitzvot aseh, and 365 mitzvot lo taseh. This is mitzvot lo taseh number 186. He shehiz hiranu mi bashel basar b'chalav. God warned us not to cook basar b'chalav. Vehu amro yit'ale, he, God, the exalted one, said, lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo. Umi shebishlo loke, anybody who cooks basar b'chalav gets a lot. Ve'af al pi shelo achlo, even though you didn't eat it. Just the mere cooking itself is enough. Now go to page number 4, which is number mitzvah number 187, Kuf Pei Zion. The hamitzvah hakuf Pei Zion he shehiz hiranu me'echol basar b'chalav. We have been cautioned not to eat basar b'chalav. The hu amro, God said, gam kein lo tivashel gedi b'chalev imo pa'am shniya. He said that a second time. And what does he want? Rotze bo. He wants us to understand an Isur Achila. An Isur Achila. Even though it says lo tivashel, I know it's an Isur Achila. Who remembers, I actually have it in the source sheet tonight also, but who remembers how did Rambam achieve that? So it's not just that the Torah wrote an extra time. Who remembers that famous Rambam, where the Rambam made an association to Parsha of the Arayas? Are you allowed to have relations with your daughter? What would you say? Are you allowed to have relations? Yes. No, no.
Well, it doesn't
say it at all. But what does the Torah say? You can't have relations with your granddaughter. So the Gemara, remember that? Good. So if the Gemara writes, and the Rambam quotes it, if the Torah prohibits you can't have relationship with your granddaughter, well, your granddaughter is an extension. Why is she? Because she comes from your daughter or from your son, one of the two. So certainly you can't have relations with what? With your daughter. Torah doesn't have to tell us because it's abundantly evident, says the Rambam. Good. How did the Rambam use that to tell us that you're not allowed to cook? You're not allowed to eat basar b'chalav. Why didn't the Torah have to say it? Because if you couldn't cook it, if you could eat it, why would the Torah tell you what? You can't cook it. What's the matter? You're allowed to eat it anyhow. So if the Torah is prohibiting cooking, it's abundantly evident to me, says Rambam, that you can't eat it either. You can't eat it either. So the Rambam believes, it's taken from a Gemara, that if there is a source in the Torah for A, and B is undoubtedly subsumed under that category, it's as if, just go to Mr. Rogers, World of Make-Believe, it's as if it says black on white, you're not allowed to eat it. It's as if it says black on white, you're not allowed to have relations with your daughter. It's not a kal v'chomer. It's called the Rambam. I don't know what Rambam has a name for it. Forgot what the name is. He says it's impossible that the Torah did not have in mind to prohibit your daughter. And the Rambam makes this comparison. So I ask you: if somebody has relations with their daughter, are they going to get punished for it? Of course they are. So the defendant will say, "What do you mean? Torah didn't say that I should be punished." So they'll laugh at him. They'll say, okay, genius. Did the Torah tell you now that have marriage with your granddaughter? You should have figured it out. So the Torah now says, according to the Rambam, just as if the Torah prohibits cooking, undoubtedly it meant to prohibit as well eating.
That's how not as clear as the daughter.
Okay, you could say that. You could say, but the Rambam would say, for what purpose would the Torah prohibit?
People when you go to restaurants, someone in the family.
Okay, I grant you that you could challenge Rambam. It's not as compelling. I grant you that.
You know, it's right in Europe, she's in the way that.
How does that help baby
when you're
what? How does it? Because it make believe it's as if in the Torah. So if I eat basa b'chalav, am I going to get lashes? The Rambam just said you do. Good. Now, let me ask just one more question. Do I have to say that if the Torah prohibited cooking, it's as if you know, that does it also automatically prohibit benefit?
No.
Of course not. Because there are a lot of things which the Torah tells us why. That you're not allowed to do. And nonetheless, what is it? Benefit is permissible. For example, nevela. The Torah says you're not allowed to eat nevela. But that doesn't mean you're not allowed to have benefit. The Torah says you're allowed to have benefit. It says, la ger, asher, bishorecha, titnena, va'achala, or treifa. Treifa, the Torah said, la kelev tashlichu anocha. So Rambam believes, what is the only possible way that there could have been lashes for deriving benefit? What if no? If the Torah would have said it black on blue, that's the only way. You'll ask me, cooking is black on blue. What about eating? Is what eating black on blue? No, but Rambam says make believe it's black on blue. Because otherwise the Torah would not have prohibited cooking. Just as the person who has relations with his daughter will be put to death in Beit Din, even though it doesn't say a darn word in the Torah about not having relations with your daughter. It only says your granddaughter. We will tell the offender, you should have figured this out. Well, you should figure this out too. Don't eat it. You can't apply that rationale to what? To Hanok. So Rambam understood that very well. That had the Torah wanted to, prohibit Hanok with lashes, it would have to say one of two things. Either don't derive Hanok, the Torah said, or at least it should say you can't eat it. Because we saw a famous opinion, remember Rabbi Avo, who says that every single time that the Torah says the word lo tochal in the Torah, it includes hanah, unless the Torah explicitly says hanah's mother, by nevela and treifa. But all others, why is orla asur b'hanah? Because it says lo tochal, we're not allowed to eat it.
Can you give that lashes to
somebody different? For what?
For
of course you can. It says lo tochal. Now let
eat. I mean,
for Hanah, probably not.
Okay.
Because it doesn't say it.
So that doesn't work. Then.
Correct. That's what the Rambam will say here too. That's why Rambam, although he believes that Hanah is biblically prohibited, but there is nothing in the text that says Hanah is asur midoraita, even though it is. Hence, I cannot administer lashes for simply violating the Isur Hanah of Basa
B'Challah. So it's the punishment that is the problem.
That's correct. It's not that the biblical source. He believed that they're all Asur Midda'oraisa. But you know, there are a lot of things that there are no punishments for, even though they are Asur Midda'oraisa. A lot of things. Torah says you're not allowed to say Lashon Hara. Right? But you don't get lashes for violating Lashon Hara because we have a rule. Only a lav of action do you get lashes. And lav she'ein bo ma'aseh ein lokin alav.
Is it talking, speaking, doing something?
No. It's not considered halachically an action. An action is an action. Not do something. Right? Yeah. So that's what the Rambam says. Now, there is a... One second, let me just... Yeah. If you go for a second to page number 5, a Gemara in Kedushin, which cites Rabbi Shimon's opinion, and he illustrates the case of having hana from basar b'challav. I bracketed, this is daf nun chet amud aleph in Maseches Kedushin. Tanya, the Gemara cites a beraita. Hamikadesh bepeter chamor. Peter chamor. What is peter chamor? Very unusual halacha. That a firstborn of an animal has to be given as a korban unto a kohen. You give it to a kohen, the kohen brings it as a korban, and he eats it. Kaddishly called the char, and what do? You give it to a kohen, it's one of the matnas kohen. The halacha of bechor only applies to kosher animals. Only applies to kosher animals. Non-kosher animals, the laws of bechor don't apply.
But you can't bring any korban from non-kosher.
Correct. Yet, by a pet, a chamor, a donkey, you can't just keep it. What do you have to do? You have to change it. Peter chamor, what do you do? Tifdeh biseh. You take a little shepsula, a sheep, and you exchange it. Fine, that's what the Torah tells you to do. Let's assume I didn't. I didn't go ahead and exchange it. Peter chamor, I didn't.
Who's exchanging it?
The owner himself exchanges it, exchanges the animal, and then...
Then he can bring it to the
then he takes the sheep and he gives that as a korban. Exactly.
And so it's also supposed to be a firstborn sheep or just any sheep?
No, it's talking about the firstborn donkey.
Right.
The sheep can be anybody. Sheep can be anybody. So anyhow, this guy uses the petach hamor to be mekadesh anisha. Or the basa b'chalav. He took a piece of meat, put it into a pot of milk, took it out, and he said, Hareyak lekudeshesli, b'chaticha basar zu. He didn't have a ring. So the Masada condition, did you buy this ring with your own money? You know, did you buy this meat with your own money? Yes, I bought it with my own money.
It's both this chamor and it's in
either
milk.
Or.
And it's
so either
milk
or. It's eat both. Both. Okay. So the Mishnah says, the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Omer Mikudesha, she's Mikudesha. Why is she Mikudesha?
Because it has value.
Because it's not Asur V'Hana'ah.
Right, that means it has value.
That's correct. If it's not, this is our Gemara, Rabbi Shimon. So the Chachamim Omerim ain't a Mikudesha. The Chachamim say she's not halachically betrothed because you gave her something of zero value. It's prohibited, and even if you can sell it to a Gentile, halachically it has zero value because it's asur behana'ah, according to the Chachamim. But Rabbi Shimon says, as we learned tonight, it's not asur behana'ah. If it's not asur behana'ah, under those circumstances, you can be mikadesh with anything that has value to it. So the Gemara here gives a full illustration, the greatest illustration possible, that Rabbi Shimon, who says you are permitted to derive benefit, doesn't only mean to give it to a doggy. You can be mekadesh and isha with it, which is the test case, if something has any value. Has any value. Now, if you go for 1 second now to page number 6, this is the Chinuch, the Sefer HaChinuch, when he describes the prohibition of basa b'chala. And at the end of the Chinuch, every Chinuch, every mitzvah in the Chinuch is divided into 3 parts. Every single one. The same format for all 613 mitzvot. He states the definition of the mitzvah. He gives you the philosophy, which he calls Shrashei HaMitzvah. And then at the end, he gives you Medina, a little overview of the laws. So on the bottom of the page, which I bracketed for you, he says, Ha'over Oleha Ve'ochal Kizayit Min Abasar Ve'achala Shemit Bashlu B'yachad Yachad. Anybody who violates and eats a Kizayit, a Basar B'chala that have been cooked together, B'mezid, deliberately, Lokeh, you get leisures. Avo nehe nebo, but if you derive benefit from it,
Kidom, Shinatno, he gave it to a friend, a Gentile. O Micharo, he sold it to a Gentile. Eino Moker, you don't get lashes. Why? What explanation does he give? Lefi She'efshar Lahana'a Beli Ma'aseh. You can get benefit without you doing an action. And if you can violate a law without doing an action, it's defined by definition as what? As a law she'ein bo ma'aseh, even though I can create plenty of cases where you do it, where you do have an action associated with it. That's what the chiddush is. Let me just explain it. So I'm going to give, can you give me an illustration how you can derive benefit from basar bechala without you doing a thing?
You smell it?
You can smell it, yes. Smell it, it has a pleasant fragrance. That's one way.
You could be standing next to your Gentile neighbor is standing next to you, and you say, you see this in front of me?
Go right ahead. Exactly. Your dog. Fluffy. Hi, Fluff. Fluffy comes over, sees a piece of meat. I know anything. I can give it to him. It's sitting there on the floor. So he has a different explanation.
That's why you're supposed to bury it.
Since, that's one of the reasons. Since it is theoretically possible to violate the Isur Hana'ah without any action, it's defined as a lav she'ein bo ma'aseh. So the rule is, any time I have a lav she'ein bo ma'aseh, according to the chinuch, not everyone agrees with him, even if you can concoct a scenario where you did have a ma'aseh, you don't get lashes for it in any event. So it's very simple. I took the piece of basar bechala and I went and I sold it to somebody else. Was that an action? Of course it was. But I don't get lashes. Because if, by definition, it is possible to violate without an action, under all circumstances, I don't get lashes. That has nothing to do with what we said to another Rambam. This is his explanation of why you don't get lashes for basar bechala. Because it theoretically could be violated without an action. And in all probability, he, Chinuch, would say, whenever there is an Isur Hana'ah, you never get lashes on violating the Isur Hana'ah. Why? Because we can always concoct a case. Is Chametz Asur B'Hana'ah? Yes, it is. Okay, so what's going to happen? I have my bread. Fluffy, come on. Just go and eat it. I'm sitting down, I don't do a thing. So I violate the Isa D'Oraita of benefiting from Chametz because I don't have to buy Alpo. He ate my Chametz. So, but it was low without a Masa. According to the Chinuch, in all probability, in all cases of Isurei Hana'ah, even though they are biblically prohibited, it may be, according to the Chinuch, that you never get lashes on Isurei Hana'ah. But that's his explanation for this situation. Yes? Correct, but that's certainly you don't get lashes for that. Tell me why. Because how do you violate not owning it? How do you violate owning it? How do you violate? You didn't sell it. That's not an action. It came Erev Pesach, and the Chametz is in my house. What's that law which you refer to? Bal Ye Ro'e U Bal Ye Matzeh. You're not permitted to have ownership. So the Rambam, he himself doesn't agree with this. Because, I'll give you the case that's an excellent illustration. If I have chametz in my house, which I just didn't sell, I don't get lashes for that. Because I didn't do any action. I failed to sell. Can you tell me how I can have chametz in my house when I have an action? I made chametz on Pesach. I baked chametz. Well, now I have chametz. How did it get here? I did an action. Not that I didn't sell. I actually baked. Or what else?
You actually give it to your dog?
No, I bought it. I bought it. I went to Pathmark and bought a loaf of bread. That's an action. Rambam says you get not this way. He doesn't agree with the chinuch. According to the chinuch, you will never, ever get lashes for the lack of Bayiran Bayimatsin. Because the most probable way is you just didn't sell it, didn't get rid of it, didn't destroy it, didn't sell it. That's the Shitas Hachimah.
All right, we'll stop here and we'll continue next to Bach.